Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Johnson in for Richard today, 94 WIP. By the way, one point of clarification from the 10 o'clock hour. I said something that apparently was not accurate. I thought Pete Rose was made available to the media after the game. One of the reporters texted me and said Pete Rose was made available after the on-field ceremony once the – I guess he means once the game has begun, or okay. maybe it was right before the game began. Bottom line is the reporter was telling me before he was then invited up to the booth.
Yeah, so the way it would work is he had availability before the pregame ceremony. Then there was the pregame ceremony, right? And then he
yes.
came back and had another Q&A and then went up to the booth?
So I don't know the extent to which he had pregame availability before the ceremony. Obviously, Alex Coffey asked him a question. I don't know if that was a flyby or
right.
part of a scrum. Scrum meaning a term for multiple reporters gathered around a noteworthy figure all asking him questions at the same time. Maybe cameras are rolling, maybe they're not. I don't know what that interaction was like, but it sounds like the sequence was Alex Coffey with him before the, you know, around the ceremony, then the ceremony, well, you know, before around the team picture, then the ceremony, in which he was introduced,
mm-hmm.
then the scrum with the media members. Then he's invited up to the booth.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, after the scrum with the media members, he never, ever should have been let up in the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Holy cow. They let him up there?
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. All right, let's talk some Eagles football. And, of course, you can react and respond and weigh in on the Pete Rose situation and on the present-day Phils who are playing great baseball. We're hoping the Eagles play great football this year and open practice last night at Lincoln Financial Field. Elliott Shore Parks, of course, on the beat, as he always is. He joins us right now. How you doing, Elliott?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Elliott, I was even better after I saw the clip last night of Jalen Hurts drop that ball in A.J. Brown. What a throw.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was probably his best throw of training camp so far. It was from about 30, 35 yards out from the pocket. And I think what was most encouraging about that throw was A.J. Brown was not open.
Correct.
Like, credit for A.J. for making the catch, and credit to Jalen for giving him a chance. You know, we talk a lot about how A.J. Brown could change this offense, but I really think the main change, what it could end up being, is you might see Jalen Hurts give him more 50-50 opportunities on throws exactly like that. So, you know, it was his best throw of the night. We'll get into the rest of his practice, but I thought that throw was encouraging enough to leave last night where at least, you know, there were some positives.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, obviously a huge highlight for those who were there last night, about 30,000. So, Elliott, what about, and we'll get to the rest of the team, but what about the rest of practice last night for Jalen Hurts, all the other throws or non-throws? How do you think he fared overall last night?
So what I liked about last night's practice, the way Sirianni ran it was a lot of, like, one-versus-one competitive full-field drills where they were, like, essentially it wasn't a scrimmage per se, but there was, you know, first down, and if they got 4 yards, then it was second and six. So they really did, like, basically kind of a game. I had Hurts finished at 11 of 18 with one touchdown. Obviously, the A.J. Brown one we just talked about, no interceptions. So the no interceptions is a positive. I did think there were still some sequences where the offense just wasn't really clicking. As I mentioned, they were kind of moving down the field as they went. At one point, they got a 40-yard drive, and it took them 8 or 9 plays to get that drive. So it still wasn't like the fluent dynamic passing offense you wanted to see. But I think that overall, if you want to kind of do a stock up or stock down on Hurts, you'd probably have to lean stock up last night just because of that throw to AJ.
Now, Elliot, I mean, you are the eyes for the listening audience. Overall, to this point in camp, as we sit here right now, do you have the same questions about Jalen Hurts that you had prior to camp, or are you, is he starting to check boxes of areas you were hoping to see?
So I think after eight practices, to me, he looks like mostly the same quarterback. There have certainly been some throws. As I mentioned, the A.J. Brown throw was a nice one. I think there's been maybe a little better kind of accuracy over the middle of the field. There's been probably five or six throws to A.J. Brown throughout training camp where he's hit him in stride over the middle. And in the game, potentially, Brown might have really gone after the catch. So I think there's been some moments of positive. But I came into this camp, fair or not, I came into this camp with high expectations. I looked at the weapons on the offense, the fact that he had the same coaching staff, the fact that it was his second year, and I really expected to see a much better passing offense. And I've not seen that at all. In fact, if you look, he has eight passing touchdowns in eight practices. Through this time last year, he actually had more passing touchdowns. So I just, you know, he hasn't been bad, but he's not taken the kind of step forward I was hoping to see in his second training camp as the starter.
Elliot, any steps forward with Devontae Smith and Hurts, that connection just in the last couple of practices? I know you thought they had a slow go sort of out of the gate here this year.
Sorry, you dropped out.
Devontae Smith, yeah.
Yeah, so Devontae has not practiced the last three practices because of a groin injury. So obviously he's not clearly not been involved.
Sure.
He's not been in the offense. But look, overall, Goddard and A.J. Brown have dominated the targets through camp. Goddard at this point has 35 targets. A.J. Brown has 32. No other player on the roster has over 20. So the majority of the passes, the far majority of the passes when Hurts has been on the field, are going to Goddard and A.J. Brown.
So Jordan Davis with a moment last night that made the rounds on social media, pushing back the offensive lineman. Has he, to this point for you, exceeded the expectations that you had coming into this camp for him?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, when they drafted him, I understood the logic behind it to a certain degree because he is such a great athlete. But I was concerned about him as a pass rusher. It's not something you saw at Georgia. And honestly, there were questions about his kind of fitness level at Georgia. Through eight practices and, you know, seeing him in the offseason and being at his press conferences, I really think they have a superstar in Jordan Davis. He looks the part. To me, he looks like he's in great shape. You saw the clip last night where he takes Cam Jurgens and essentially just pushes him back easily, like 10 yards during a one-on-one drill. I think there's been multiple reps in 11-on-11 where he's broken the pocket and made an impact on Jalen. And that's what he needs to be, because we know that he can be great against the run. We know he's going to eat up space. If he can disrupt that pocket with his size, his ability, and frankly, his personality, I think this time next year, we'll be talking about him as one of the best players on the defense and a leader of that defensive room.
Elliot, last night, just the vibe at the Link. I mean, they've had multiple open practices now at Lincoln Financial Field the last few years. Was there was it more of a high-pitch excitement now, more than you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was a great atmosphere down there last night. They had about 30,000. It looked about half full to me. And people were really excited. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in training camp about how with the addition of A.J. Brown, there's like a T.O. level of excitement. And I was not at the training camps with T.O., so I can't speak to that. But I know that A.J. Brown last night put on a show, much like people talked about what T.O. did at Lehigh. So I think A.J. Brown, has added to that excitement level. And I think people in general, after last offseason, where people were so mad at the team after the Doug thing and the Carson thing, people are just genuinely excited about this team heading into the year. And I think that was on display at the Link last night.
I just have one more question for Elliot. We still have a few more days till we get to Friday in that first preseason game. When Nick Sirianni spoke over the weekend, he said, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do yet with the starters. We'll see how the week goes." Should we take him at his word, or does he already have it written down who is going to play and who is not?
My guess is he already has a very good idea. I mean, potentially could these next few practices change something if there's an injury, if maybe, you know, they're particularly bad in a certain set of drills or something like that. I guess maybe. But ultimately, these are decisions I believe that they make based off of partially the doctors and partially putting an emphasis on health. And I think they make the right decisions. Last year, we debated on this station and, you know, with fans and everything for a full month on whether they should play guys in training camp. And they were one of the healthiest teams in the league last year. So I believe that there's a chance maybe you see Jalen for, you know, a series or two on Friday. But overall, I don't think that they will play much, and I think that's the right decision.
Elliot, appreciate it, my man. Always good having you on the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow, as always. And today, by the way, is what is it, a walkthrough today?
Yeah, today's a walkthrough, closed to the media, but tomorrow they are open, so I'll have practice observations and hopefully talk to you around 11 like normal.
Very nice, pal. We'll see you down there because we're broadcasting from the
from
the trailer tomorrow. All right, Elliot, thanks, pal.
Yeah, talk to you guys.
All right, there he is, Elliot Shore Parks. 215-592-9494. Quick aside, by the way. I don't know if I got to rip someone or praise someone.
What's the matter?
But I certainly got to bring it up. I saw something today, John, that I either haven't seen in at least, let's see, I'm 44 years old. I haven't seen in at least 35 years, or I've never seen it. Our producer today, Dan Wilson, who's doing a fine job filling in for James Seltzer today, before the show had, he might still have, I'll use the word tub. That might be a little ambitious. A jar, a big, and I mean a big container of Cheerios.
Yeah.
So much so that I was tempted to ask him, Dan Wilson, are you 6 years old, sir?
No, I'm five.
So what's up with, I mean, listen, Cheerios, you know, every once in a while, I suppose. Like a long car ride or something, it's easy, it's not messy. But, I mean, Dan, that's a big container.
Cheerios are good. It's seriously one of my favorite cereals. And it was easy on the go. I ran out the door this morning. I'm not, you know, my hours, I worked late yesterday, so I'm back in this morning. It was a quick breakfast.
What is the frequency with which you go with the tub breakfast of Cheerios?
I wouldn't say it's often, but I've done it before.
John, what's your reaction?
Now, hold on a minute. When you say not often, is this a once a week? Is this a bi-daily? How many boxes of Cheerios is Dan Wilson going through on a given week?
Wow. Well, boxes, that's impossible.
Well, that's a half a box he's got there.
That is about a quarter. That is at least a quarter of a box.
A quarter, maybe a third of a box.
I mean, it really is an outrageous. I mean, I know people can't see
so
it right
now.
So is
about the quantity of Cheerios or that I brought it in the tub?
Well, it's a few things. First off, just Cheerios beyond
what is
age
of. What is your go-to cereal?
Well, I don't eat them at this point. I mean, the Honey Bunches of Oats is the one I eat the most, but I eat that four times a year.
Okay.
Number one, Cheerios for an adult, a little weird. Number two, like that many Cheerios, super weird. So
this is my full breakfast here.
Are they regular or honey nut?
They're regular Cheerios.
They're the dry ones.
Perplexed.
They're the dry Cheerios.
Perplexed.
You're asking how often. For a while I hadn't. I was in for the morning show last week. I did it with Conklin, and he actually liked the Cheerios. He liked the idea.
I just find it very strange, but, you know, you do you, my man. You do you.
I got the big wallet back.
All right,
let's
go. Yeah, that's right, the big wallet.
It is a lot of Cheerios.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Manny right now in Delaware. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me. This is my first time calling.
My pleasure.
So I just wanted to defend a little bit Pete Rose because, you know, keep it real, he was initially banned from baseball for betting on baseball.
Yep.
So it seems like if it's not one thing, it's another with this guy. And I think the Phillies should have been better prepared not to ask the man the question. He's like he's senile or something. But
yeah, but he's not senile. He's not senile.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked old and he moved old, but he knew what he was doing. His memory seemed razor sharp.
Manny, the questions were pertinent, though. Remember back 5 years ago in 2017, they were having a Pete Rose Wall of Fame night at Citizens Bank Park, and then these then accusations came out to which he has since admitted to. They had to cancel the whole weekend. They had 45,000 bobbleheads. They had to throw them in a furnace. So this is the first time they've had a chance to speak to him since this came out. So it was very relevant.
And Manny, not to mention, and this is a part we haven't even gotten to yet, but the reality that the Philadelphia Phillies had to get permission from Major League Baseball for Pete Rose to be allowed to be there. Now think about the commissioner's office this morning in New York. They're saying to themselves, oh, we can't allow that again. You know, if there's a 50th anniversary 8 years from now for the Phillies, if there's an anniversary, I guess what the Reds won in 75 and 76. So there will be a Reds 50th year anniversary coming up in 3 years of their 75 World Series. The commissioner's office is going to say to themselves, oh, no way. No way after what he did yesterday. So, you know, in many ways, he really spat in the faces of many people who had advocated for him to be there. All right, Manny, give me an answer for a great team of all time. It can be from sports or otherwise. What do you got?
I'm a little biased. I want to say the 83 Sixers, but that's not the case. It's really the 96 Bulls.
All right, you got it. I'm writing it down. Don't start rattling off multiple teams. That's a big no-no to the extent where I might not vote for that guy, even though 96 Bulls might be winning answer. Frickin' takes the 83 Sixers off the board, too. John, there are rules.
Wait, hold on.
There are rules.
But it was a slip there. I mean,
but no
slips.
He only
gets credit for one.
Don't slip.
We take him off the board?
Did I or did I not ask him for best team ever?
You did, but I ignored the first one.
Yeah, well, I didn't because I heard it, and it was a very great answer for listen, 83 Sixers, best Philadelphia sports team of my lifetime.
Oh yeah,
not even close, John.
You wouldn't put the 08 Phillies in that?
Not even close.
Really?
Not even close. 83 Sixers were far more dominant than the 08 Phils. By the way, 08 Phils, for what it's worth, had a worse record than the 09, 2010, or 2011 Phils.
Yeah.
83 Sixers had it going on. 215-592-9494. We'll continue taking your reaction on all of these topics. Also up ahead, we'll pay tribute to Dick Vermeil, his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Great speech by him, and some of what he said, you'll hear it next. Joe to camera, John Johnson in for Rich.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, Vermeil is more than a part of our community. He's a major figure in our community, and certainly it was a real thrill to see Dick Vermeil go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend. Whether you were there or, you know, in Canton or watching on television as I was, it was tremendous. I got the impression – I mean, listen, I know he was he felt compromised to have to give a speech that was 8 minutes. And, of course, he blew through it. I believe it was a 23-minute speech. So, Johnny, he was like – I think the ad-libbing element of it, I don't want to say throw him off, but it created a dynamic where I don't think he gave the exact speech he probably would have wanted to give, because I think he was – both trying to do more and trying to stay within their constraints at the same time.
It was,
did you get that impression?
I did. I was running around, and I made sure I wanted to watch that live, so I stopped what I was doing in order to watch it. And it was clear that Dick Vermeil needed another 20 minutes or so because he wanted to name everybody. He wanted to go through each and every roster, every coach he ever had, every player he ever had, you know, every assistant he ever had. And I could not be more happy for
him.
Well,
it's tremendous. He's the best. And because he felt those constraints, I think it's why he kept jumping from team to team, because it wasn't stacked up the way I think he would have if there was no shackles on him to begin with. And he just kind of kept going on. Anyway, congrats to Coach Vermeil. It was an awesome speech. And for me as a Philadelphia sports fan and as someone who knows Dick Vermeil personally, it was a great thrill for me to see him get that well-deserved honor. One more piece of audio, then right back to the phones, because I thought probably the highlight of the speech, and there was a lot of great stuff, but to me the highlight of the speech was when he was talking about his wife, Carol Vermeil. And you won't see this in what we're about to play, obviously, because this is audio, but the people in Vermeil's life, the former players from all sorts of different teams, giving Carol Vermeil a standing ovation while Dick Vermeil was talking about her, because those guys know. They know the sacrifices that he and she had to make. Normal living. I mean, a coach is just – it's not normal living. I mean, it's just when you're grinding 18, 20 hours, in 24 hours, you know, you need great support. And obviously, Carol's a special person. Here is Dick Vermeil talking about his wife while people in his life, like maybe as much as 100 or so, were giving her a standing ovation.
You notice I didn't get into talking about a lot of other things that would make me cry, okay? But when I talk about Carol Vermeil, it ain't gonna work, okay? She's done it all, so thank you, Carol. I will all, 66 years. The only thing I ever put on my body more important than this jacket was the Red and Wing she gave me 66 years ago.
Yeah, very cool. And then that ovation went on for a while. John, that was a great moment, man.
And I try to explain this to anybody when a conversation comes up about head coaches in any sport, in particular the NFL. It is not a 9-to-5 job that you go to and you know, make plans for the evening. You live and breathe that job as long as you have it. It's not 5 days a week. It's 7 days a week. It's 16 to 20 hours a day. Your office becomes your secondary home. You sleep on the couch half the time. And the only time you have to break away, you get like 2 weeks in the off season, and then you're right back at it all over again. It is a lifestyle. It becomes your life.
No question.
And for anyone who can maintain a relationship for, my goodness, 66 years,
yeah.
A tip of the cap to the significant other.
No question about it. Great moment. Obviously, if you watch that on TV, or particularly if you were in Canton, I'd love to hear from people today as they watch the Vermeil ceremony. And, of course, the rest of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is always a really nice day. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones. Talk to Nick in Arbuth right now. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hey, Nick.
Good, Nick. What's going on, bud?
Well, I'm going to come at this from a generational difference. I take Pete Rose for who he is. You know, he's a Kentucky boy. He didn't have a pair of shoes until he was about 10 years old, I understand. He's a rough and tumble guy. I really think the Phillies should have said to the journalists, look, this is about the celebration of the 1980 team.
Can't do it, Nick. You can't try to control journalists like that. I'm telling you, you can't
do
that.
But the thing is, most people, especially from my generation, journalists are the lowest of the low. This young girl, it's a gotcha question. If she had the opportunity, would she ask Joe Biden about showering with his 16-year-old daughter?
All right. Not going there. 215-592-9494. Ignorant phone call from that guy.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tyrone in Middletown. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Good morning, Tyrone.
Jan Janssen, how's it going?
How you doing, Tyrone? Everything good?
Oh, yeah. Good to hear you guys together. But, yeah, I went to the Eagles practice session last night. It was interesting. It was really good. It was quite different from the last one that I attended in that I did note that the intensity level was a little down, I guess, because of the new protocol that they have established. Mm-hmm. But one thing that stood out, and I was sitting in the end zone, I might add, first when A.J. Brown caught that. It was a beautiful pass.
You were right there you were in that particular end zone?
Yes, I was.
Oh, what a great view that must have been. That's beautiful.
And he put that ball in a spot where A.J. Brown was the only one that could catch that ball.
Yeah.
And I think it was anticipation. He laid it up there for him and said, do your thing. I know you got that. But then after he caught that pass, which was awesome, he ran down the field and he had another football he threw into the stands. And for the people that think he doesn't have a strong arm, I was standing 20 feet away from where that ball landed. And if that ball would have hit me in the chest, it might have knocked me down. But I was trying to catch it. I was like, yo, you missed me. You missed me.
Yeah. Look, Tyrone, he's got a strong enough arm to be a good NFL starting quarterback. There's a misconception that he's got a weak arm. It's not true. Now, he doesn't have a rocket arm. Clearly does not have a rocket arm. But he's got more than – because there's some people that think he's got a noodle arm, and that's just not
no,
true.
No, that's not true at all.
It's just not
like,
true.
Tyrone, here's my question. It has nothing to do with his arm strength. We know at this point in time, I've seen enough of Jalen Hurts to say, you know what, as long as he's healthy, he'll be in the league for 15 years. There are 32 starters needed. He certainly fits that category. But I don't know if he's going to be good enough to be a franchise quarterback. And that's what we need to find out for sure.
Yeah, but I disagree, John, with something you said.
You don't think he can be a starter?
I think he can be a starter, but I am certainly not convinced that he will be a starter for 15 years, 10 years, or 5 years. Listen, in a league where every team has 3 quarterbacks and there's 96 quarterbacks, yeah, he'll be in the NFL for a long time. Whether he'll be a starter for a long time, I don't know about that. Go ahead, Tyrone.
Yes. Basically, what I felt, though, that what I saw also was that on every pass that he didn't complete, the defense was in the backfield, and they pressured them several times. And I think it's a different scheme that Jonathan Gannon may be running.
Look, it is a different scheme to an extent. He's got better players. I'm talking about Gannon. And it's a great test for Jalen Hurts to face a defense that is probably an above-average defense, and that's really good for him for this upcoming season that he's getting to – practice against a good defense for a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyrone, give me a great answer for best team ever.
Now, when you're talking about teams, are you talking about pairs or complete teams?
We're kind of open-ended here. I mean, complete teams or teams in the sense of maybe people in the pop culture world. I mean, you give me an answer, and I'll tell you if it works.
Well, for me, I was going to mention a duo.
A duo can be a team. I said Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers earlier. Give me an answer.
Yeah. I was going to say Doc and Moses.
Doc and Moses. So here's the irony. I'm going to say no to that.
What are you doing here?
All right, here's why Doc and Moses.
You poo-pooed the whole 83 Sixers thing because some clown brought it up.
Yep.
You're poo-pooing this tandem? What's going on
here's
here?
Why. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were the whole team.
Oh, my God.
That's why they are the team. Doc and Moses were not the complete team. Right? Am I wrong, John? I do nothing but spit truth and wisdom. You know that.
Yeah, numerically, you're correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are 3 other guys on the court with them at a given point
in
time.
I don't want to vote against Doc and Moses.
You just did.
But they're not even a team. They're not even worth writing down as an
answer. They don't win squat.
I'm well aware of that.
Well, then, therefore, they're a great team.
I agree. 27 Yankees, viable answer. If someone calls in and says Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig today, not an answer.
I was going to say, I agree with the camera here only for the reason.
Because
if you do tandems within the team, so that you could say the 83 Sixers and Doc and Moses, are those 2 different answers?
All right, we need to clarify this contest thing, because this is going way off the rails. So greatest team ever should be give me a specific dynasty team, or generally,
doesn't
or a championship-level team.
Yep.
And if we're looking for maybe the entertainment realm or off sports, then you could go a pairing of 2 separate individuals or entities.
That's
someone brought up PB&J.
Yes.
I brought up De Niro and Pacino.
Correct.
All right, so no more Doc and Moses. Give me the whole team.
What if someone says peanut butter, jelly, and bread? Is that a new team, or how are you working that?
That's a trio. That doesn't work.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Scott and King of Prussia right now. Thank you for that clarification, John. Scott, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Scott.
2 things. I think the Phillies were wrong to bring back Primrose at all. As much you know, I'm 52, and as much as I liked him as a kid, the more I found out about him as I became an adult, the less.
Less easy it is to like him. I mean, it's simple.
Right. Yeah. And I think it was a mistake. I mean, I understand he's older and everything. I think it was a mistake to bring him back, and his comments just made it even worse. Really.
Well, it made it a lot worse. And really, he kind of spit in the face of people that stood by him. I mean, you know, if you're the Phillies organization, who maybe they were on the fence of whether to bring him back initially or not, I don't quite know, but I would imagine they were. I don't think internally it's probably a slam dunk yes or slam dunk no. I'm going back months ago. When players from the 80 Phillies advocate for Pete Rose's inclusion in the ceremony yesterday, if you're that hierarchy of the Phillies, you're saying to your 80 Phillies guys today, I mean, guys, we leaned into it and tried for you, and this is what happened. You know, it's he will never, ever be invited back by the Phillies again.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think it was probably an eye-opening experience, and I think they realized that they probably made a mistake.
I'm sure they realized that. Yeah,
5 minutes sure in, I think they realized.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
I'm sure they had that internal meeting, and I'm sure they're having another one.
Yep.
And they're going over it, and just like you said, I mean, hopefully that won't happen again.
Well, it won't. It just won't. Go ahead. As far as what? Go ahead.
As far as Hurts, I think it's great. Yeah, he made a nice pass. AJ Brown made a great catch. I still do not think he's going to be that next level quarterback. I'm glad that he's going to have a year to try and prove it. I do think he'll be in the NFL, even if it's not as a starter.
He'll be in the NFL for a long time
as backup.
He'll definitely be in the league for a while. Scott, give me a great answer for best team ever.
All right. You know, I like to go outside the box and you think about this team's overall accomplishments, all the missions that they've done. SEAL Team 6. Taking down Bin Laden, among other things.
SEAL Team 6.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really good answer.
Did not see that coming.
Now, I did not like, John, the one guy that – I didn't see that coming either. The one guy that started talking out publicly afterwards, because apparently he wasn't supposed to. And so one of the guys has sort of profited on the experience of it.
The SEAL Team 6 experience?
Yeah. And I think people in the military are not happy with him on that. But, but SEAL Team 6, obviously massive, massive heroes and what they did. Good answer.
I'm going to judge that one.
That's a big answer, man. SEAL Team 6 getting the job done. That is a big answer. Chris in Northeast Philadelphia. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Chris.
So I was just calling to talk a little Phillies. I don't want to talk about Pete Rose just because the less that guy's talked about, the better as far as I'm concerned. He's a wacko. He doesn't even deserve to be talked about.
John, what do you got on the present-day team then?
Like nobody's talking about this, and like I understand why they're a bit far back in the standings, but it's like you said, Joe, they are playing the best baseball they've played in the past 11 years.
Yep.
They got 7 games left against the Mets, 7 games against the Braves. I don't think it's out of the question that they got a shot at playing for this division.
It's out of the question.
Let me put it
this way. Do the Phillies have like a 2% chance of passing the Mets? Yeah, I guess 2%. But they're not going to pass the Mets. They are not going to pass the Mets.
Let me think about this for a moment. So right now they're 9.5 back. After they have this 3-game set against the Marlins, 6 of their next 9 will be against the Mets. Of course, they'd have to steamroll New York in order to have a chance at that.
Correct.
2%, no. I'd say a solid maybe 15%.
Oh, it's not 15.
But no, but Chris, here's what they 15. Do have a legit shot at, though, at having the number one wild card spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are they, 2.5 behind the Braves or 3.5 or something like that?
Right now they're 3 back of the Braves for that number one wild card spot.
And just on, let me get this right. So the number one wild card spot would give them home field in the first round against the second wild card team, correct?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, because essentially they'd be the 4 seed. 4 plays 5. 3, the weakest division winner, plays 6. So that's what they would have.
You are right. They would
have home field advantage against
Best of 3?
Best of 3 against like the Padres or the Cardinals or the Brewers.
Listen, you give me Wheeler and Nola.
Or the Braves.
It could be the Braves. Yeah. You give me Wheeler and Nola against anybody. I like those odds.
All right, Chris, give me a great answer. Best team ever. Who is it?
All right, how about Elton John and Bernie?
You know what? They did a lot of work together, man. The one dude, what was it? The one dude wrote the lyrics and Elton John wrote the music. Is that the deal?
Wait. Who? Elton John and who?
I forget the guy's name. He said Bernie something. So Elton John and this other guy for years have been putting the songs together that are the famous Elton John songs.
Which I'm very familiar with.
Elton John does half of it. The other guy does the other half. It's a really interesting
answer. So this is a lesser known.
Bernie Taupin is known for his long-term collaboration with Elton John, writing lots of his lyrics.
Yeah,
see, this is where it hurts, though.
Why?
I'm familiar with the Elton John catalog. I had no idea. If someone said, "Who's Bernie Taupin?" I'd look at you like you had two heads.
A lot of people
don't know Bernie Taupin.
No, listen.
That's not good in a contest.
Not necessarily. You can say it's all the more impressive that it's kind of flown under the radar.
Yes, I'm impressed with your knowledge. Now tell me about Bernie Taupin. That doesn't win a contest.
I don't know. Dan just said it. One dude writes the music, one dude writes the lyrics. I think it's a pretty good answer right there. All right, give me an answer to this question, John. I said this earlier. I think I caught you off guard, but I think you will agree with me when you really drill down. This is the high point of Phillies baseball. I'm not talking about the Rose situation in this sentence. As far as them as a team, this is the high point since 2011 when they were in the NLDS against the St. Louis Cardinals and had a 2-1 lead in the series.
Now,
yes or no?
The 2 years under Kapler, they were in it in August.
Absolutely.
They were in it in September.
Correct.
However,
they weren't as good, though.
I did not have the same feeling about that team as I do this team.
Yep.
The level of talent is obviously far better.
No question.
The sense of camaraderie, the collective unit playing together, everyone playing their part, is certainly vastly better. Holy crap, I think I agree with you.
Yeah, see, and this is the thing I tell Richie all the time, John. When all else fails, just agree with me. It's very simple.
Second-guessing everything I just said.
I'm going to disagree here, actually.
All right, go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
I don't think it's even the highest they've been on alumni weekend in the last year. They were in first place a year ago after that series against the Mets.
So they've been in first place a couple times in the last few years. You're right, in August. And I think one of those Gabe years, I think they were also. But
like last year specifically.
No, I get it. But they weren't as good. Right?
You can say they're not as good because you didn't feel they were as good, but they were in first place a year ago. They're in a wild card.
I understand. I get the point you're making, and it's a reasonable.
They weren't this many games above 500.
Well,
though.
They clearly weren't that.
It was a worse division.
Yeah.
When you look at the rest of the division, who they're battling against, and in control of a wild card spot right now, I feel more confident about this team. And I certainly did that team.
I did too.
And since 2011,
Especially with the surge. I mean, guys, since June 1st, I mean, I think they were 38-19. Was that maybe going into yesterday? So maybe they're now 39-19 since June 1st?
Yeah, they've been great under Rob Thompson.
I mean, my God, 20 games above 500 in a close to 60-game span? That's freaking great baseball.
This show went to a Phillies game, and it's been all uphill ever
since.
Dude,
I put on that Top Gun Maverick outfit.
Oh, my God.
And the Phillies have just been trending in the right direction ever since you did that.
Now, John, I will say, if Dan Wilson was truly on top of his game, he'd be playing the Top Gun theme music right now.
Nobody wants to
see
hear Seltzer, Danger Zone.
Seltzer, no. That's not Danger Zone. What's the theme music?
Take My Breath Away?
That's that. Only with Kelly McGillis. They didn't use that in this one.
Are you talking about the new one?
Well, maybe it's Danger Zone. The other song. It's not I can't do it on the air.
Yeah, that's Danger Zone.
I don't know about that.
It's quintessential 80s, if that's what you're referring to.
Let me look into that. Joe to camera, we got Jan Janssen in for Richie today. Again, John out all week, and we'll have different hosts filling in all the different days this week. We'll have some fun. We'll be at training camp tomorrow. Joe to camera, John Johnson with you on 94 WIP.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep.
This?
This. And this is not Danger Zone.
No, no. This
and
is
this
like...
is what I, this is the Top Gun theme.
This is like
music.
Theatrics that you see in the movie itself. It's not on the soundtrack.
It's what you... Well, of course it's on the soundtrack. It's theme music. What part don't you understand?
This is straight up Top Gun only? This is only made for Top Gun.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think so.
It's like, give me the generic electric guitar. No, go.
I'm a little mad Dan Wilson faded that thing out a little quick. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day today. Of course, as we look forward to the Eagles' first game on Friday night, do you think Nick Sirianni should play Jalen Hurts in Friday's first preseason game? A yes, B no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One question. So, John, you think he should, right?
I do. I mean, he has everything to prove this year, and they cut short OTAs, yep. No mini camp. So all the reps he can get, the better. And remember, too, the practice, the camp reps, they're controlled reps. I know there's always a danger. There's the fear of someone getting hurt. But what Nick Sirianni is creating here at his camp is a culture of fear. It's don't practice more than this amount of time. You could get hurt. Oh, by the way, we can't have you out in games because you could get hurt. My goodness, all of a sudden these guys, my biggest fear, Joe, is we'll sit here at halftime against the Lions week one, who they are a much better team than. The Eagles have no legs, and they're hesitating because they're worried they might get injured. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's what a lot of people are worried about. I'm not particularly worried about that because, candidly, I don't think whether these guys play 9 plays in a preseason game really makes that much of a difference in the preparation for the season when you consider the playing hundreds, if not thousands, of plays in all the weeks.
Now, would you? But the difference is a real game,
and
rep,
I say
right?
Training camp plays.
Yeah, training camp plays, and they'll have the dual practice with the Browns coming up.
Right,
but it's not. But there's no tackling to the ground. Obviously, yeah. There's just hard hitting, and there's no. It's not a real game vibe. It's a controlled environment. It's completely different.
Listen, I would have him play, by telling him, and I'm speaking Jalen specifically. Not all of them have to play.
No,
I would have Jalen Hurts. This you got to walk a fine line on this one because you don't want him to get killed if a guy's chasing him down, and not be allowed to run from him. But I would put him out there with the marching orders. Your job in this game is to drop back and deliver the football on time, mm-hmm. with no hesitation. I don't say no hesitation. I know you can't. It's not a controllable situation. Defenses are doing different things to you. But my point is, Jalen, don't run. I know you can run. I know you can run. I'm telling you, Jalen, for your development, I want you to go out there for these 6 plays, these 10 plays, and be of the mindset not to run.
Joe, have you heard what is now becoming this infamous story out of Washington Commanders camp with Carson Wentz?
Maybe not. Which one? Tell me the story.
So they're running plays. I don't know if it's 11-11 or 7-on-7.
Yep.
And he drops back to pass, and there is a rush. I can't recall the name of the Washington defender.
Okay, we'll call it Chase Young.
But he's coming up right behind him.
Okay.
So Carson decides he's going to try to evade, and run around.
Yeah.
The defensive end is yelling to him, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. Carson completely ignores him and tries scrambling in and out of defenders and eventually goes out of bounds.
Yeah, I did hear that.
He has not changed one bit.
Well, no, he won't. I mean, the guy's brain doesn't work. So, no, I don't think Carson Wentz. I really don't think he.
But I got to be honest, I read this and I found it quite delightful.
It is delightful. It is delightful. What the inability for Carson to just apply common sense to being a starting quarterback in pro football. Listen, guys, I know it's not easy. I mean, easy for us to say here and kind of make fun of him a little bit and joke around. But, there's a lot going on out there. But, man, he just does dumb things. And when he threw the ball left-handed from the end zone last year, mm-hmm. probably the single dumbest thing I've ever seen in football.
It is.
I mean that.
Joe, I mean, and you've been in that locker rooms many times, but something I can certainly speak to from experience, that there have been so many incredibly talented athletes in every sport who are so set in their ways because they're telling not just themselves but everyone around them, this is how I got here, doing it my way. Right. I'm not changing. I will be successful come my way.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that eventually fade away because they never adjust how they play the game.
You know what I've – and I agree with you. Real quick before the phone calls, I'll tell you what type of player I've always appreciated, John.
Hmm.
The backup – point guard in the NBA who lasts like 12 years. Because you know what that guy is? That guy's a student of the game who is normally less athletically gifted than great college basketball point guards, but they are not a pain in the ass. They learn from their coach. They have a floor generalship out there, and the coach appreciates, whether they're the second string or the third string guy, appreciates them having them around, even though in college basketball they might not have been the star. I'm talking about Doug Overton. I'm talking about TJ McConnell. I'm talking about Kevin Ollie. I mean, these are not guys that you would say in college basketball were as dominant as, I don't know, pick a dude. But they learned how to play the game. They were not a pain to their teammates or their coaches. And they hung around for a long time and made a great living.
Do you know which player in NBA history, he's still playing, has played on more teams than anyone else, and he is a backup point guard?
All right, hold on. Which player in NBA history has played on the most teams ever?
Most teams ever, and he's a backup point guard.
This is a great question.
He is currently playing in the NBA.
Gosh.
He is on his 13th team right now.
Honest to God, off the top of my head, I don't. Who is it?
Ish Smith.
Wow.
He is now on his 13th NBA team.
He's not even that old.
No, he's 34, I think.
That's
now.
Amazing. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Sean in Maryland's with us. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Joe. Hey, John. Good afternoon. How are you guys today?
Sean, how you been?
Good, sir. Hey.
Whoa, hold on. Is that the ice cream truck? What's going on back there?
Oh, no, I am. I'm out for a short walk. And the ice cream truck is behind me, but I'm not getting it.
Fantastic.
By the way, the go-to is the snow cone. I'm sorry.
Amen. Hey, listen, real quick on Pete Rose and the Phil. Rose. I was supportive of Rose coming back to the point where he's recognized by the fans and by the Phils. But whoever gave him or whoever thought it was a good idea for him to get the mic, go in the booth, or accept interview questions is a complete fool.
But Sean, there is a flip side of that, which is if the Phillies media relations do not permit. All right, hold on. You got to put that audio down, dude. You're killing me. I need Dan Wilson to pay attention.
Stop salivating,
flip,
will you?
Flip the freaking really ice cream audio down. Especially when we're talking about such a serious subject matter. Sean, the reality is that if the Phillies do not make Pete Rose publicly available to the media, then that also would have been an issue, and the Phillies would look cowardly. Now, you can clearly make the case that would have been a better scenario than what transpired yesterday, but just know they would have gotten hit pretty hard, I mean really hard, well, by people if they had followed that approach.
I'm sure they know. They made him aware that, hey, you are going to be – this is the protocol when we have alumni weekend, right, and players come in. You'll have a sit-down with the media, to which they have to say, okay, no problem.
Exactly.
So he was well aware that he was going to be doing this Q&A, Sean.
I just think you take the hit as an organization. You whisk him out there, you know, and let him be recognized, and you whisk him the hell out of the stadium because you can't. This guy, he's a modern day Ty Cobb. You just don't know what the guy's going to do or what the guy's going to say, and you can't.
Fascinating comparison when you consider the two guys with the most hits ever. Sean, give me a great answer. Best team ever.
Hey, can I talk real quick on Rob Thompson?
Yep.
Hey, this guy is 38-19. All right, let's take this interim tag off him. We have done a 19-game.
I won't even worry, Sean. You know what? I'm not even worrying about it. You know why? Yeah. I'll sign him after the season. Let it play out.
Okay.
You know, don't take the interim tag off him. Why change the mojo? It's working. Just deal with it. He'll probably be the manager next year. Give him the contract in the offseason. Give me a great team.
I hope so.
Give me a great team.
Hey, will you accept a multi-year dynasty?
Sure.
All right. Then I got to go late 50s and 60s, the Celtics. 11 of 13 championships, 8 in a row.
You got it, man. That does bring up an interesting answer. I said sure, but maybe I shouldn't have. Which, I mean, we already took the 96 Bulls as an answer. It's a specific team within a dynasty.
Well, that was the best of the dynasty. So
it was.
It gets more points that way.
But, I mean, my point to you is I just said yes to Sean, which means I just gave him, you know, a team that won, as he pointed out, you know, 11 titles in 13 years. So, like,
well,
if he had said, you know, the 66, then, you know, maybe –
Well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
When you guys have your show every day and you'll have a cool little side topic like this, who ultimately determines the winner?
The three of us.
Get together?
If any two vote for the same one, then that's it.
Well, I'd be willing to bet that Dan Wilson, who I've worked with many times, would not select the 60 Celtics, and nor would I.
Yeah, but that might be ignorant because they might be the best team of all time.
That's a shame.
I mean, they might be. 215-592-9494. We'll figure it out as we go. Up ahead, a question that we have not yet addressed related to the Pete Rose situation. I'm curious what John thinks about this. We'll get into that and much more up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Johnson, in for Richie today on 94 WIP.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.